This Advent, we have waited for the coming of Jesus. We have lit our Advent candles and said our prayers. Now our waiting is nearly at an end, and we stand on the cusp of Christmastide rejoicing. On the morrow, loved ones will gather near, stockings will be emptied, presents will be opened, and feasts will be eaten. Today, Mary and Joseph are settled in among the animals in Bethlehem. The manger stands ready to receive the divine infant. Christmas is so close, we can feel it. Christmas Eve, perhaps more than any other night on our calendar, is saturated with expectation. Our gospel reading today is about expectation. But strangely enough, in a way, it is about disappointed expectation. Priests from Jerusalem, Levites, have made their way into the wilderness. They have heard about the one called John, the wild man who baptizes in the Jordan. They are students of the scriptures. They know the Christ, the Messiah, is coming. And they have their eschatology all mapped out, their expectations settled into straight lines. If the time is ripe, they know who they will find in the wilderness, the Christ, or else the one who, according to the prophecy of Malachi, will precede him, Elijah. Looking back now from the other side of the Passion, we know these priests are onto something. The Christ has come, and John is his Elijah. But John seems determined to disappoint them. He denies he is the Christ. He denies he is Elijah. In fact, he disclaims any apocalyptic importance for himself. He is just a voice in the wilderness, speaking the words of the Lord. But then he adds a mysterious, tantalizing statement. There standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. One among you, whom ye know not. Jesus is hidden in John's words, unnamed, undefined, yet present. He is hidden to us Christians too, this Advent. The bridegroom is away, and we wait for his coming, in our deaths or in the final death of this world. The world is dark, the night is long, as a song says, this winter solstice. The ascendant sun yet lurks invisibly behind the curve of the earth. As we reach Christmas Eve, the horizon just maybe begins to brighten. We who have never before seen a sunrise hurry about like the Levites from Jerusalem, inspecting each glance of light among the clouds. Is this it? We wonder. Is the time ripe? Is the Christ here? How does John answer us this morning? Is he determined to disappoint our expectations? We look where he points at the horizon. There is no fiery burst of light. And perhaps as we come to Christmas, we already sense a disappointment coming. If we have kept the Advent fast, or if at least we have managed to keep our heads above the frenzy of seasonal consumerism, we may feel especially spiritual right now. Our minds are turned heavenward. Our pangs of longing for God have heightened. We hope for an encounter with our Lord by the Jordan, undeniable in its force, an experience of his love and presence that will reassure us, that will make those warm spiritual feelings linger for just a few weeks more into the cold of winter. However, this is not the first time we have gotten our expectations up. We know that we have hoped and waited before, whether at Christmas or at Easter or in any other period of heightened spiritual feeling, and have felt first nothing, palpable absence, and then the crush of silent disappointment. God seems to be hiding his face from us. We have left the church apparently no more stalwart against stress or sin than before. If anything, we may feel more vulnerable. And perhaps this describes some of you this Christmas. You are here for God, but you are not entirely confident that God will be here for you. You see the baptizer standing there by the Jordan. You put to him your cautious query, is it time? Are you the one we are expecting? And you see him shake his head. The dawn is not broken. The sun is still hiding. But John adds his cryptic words, "There standeth one among you whom ye know not. We who questioned him now find ourselves questioned, even accused. We look for the sun in the east, but John tells us to turn around. The sun is already present with us, but hidden, veiled. Do we know him? Are we the Levites, students of the scriptures, with our eschatology all mapped out, our expectations settled into straight lines, who are missing what is right under our noses? Have we gone looking for God in the desert while he walks already in our midst unrecognized along the lonely path to the cross?" It is Christmas Eve. There is another story in which we find ourselves this morning, from 30 years earlier. In this story, the Messiah is to be found in Bethlehem, the house of bread, as its name is interpreted. But the seasonal Advent, as well as the great Advent of the world, are not yet over. The babe has not yet been laid in the manger. The Lord has not reappeared in judgment. We are waiting expectantly to see his face. As the words of John fall into this moment, we ask ourselves, where is the Messiah hidden among us today on Christmas Eve? And the story answers us. He is not aloof, he is not far, he is in the womb of Mary. The Christ Messiah, the Savior of the cosmos, is an unborn child sealed within the ark of a young mother. To the wonder of all nature, a creature bears her creator. The infinite Son of existence nests unseen within a cup of earth. The profound mystery of the Incarnation is expressed in Charles Wesley's classic Christmas hymn, "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see. Surely a veil is for hiding. Or is it that by which we see? Is the hiddenness of Christ in our midst a disappointment? Or is it grace?" I think we may say that the grace of the veil is twofold. First, it is the promise and surety of a gift. This gift, yet to emerge from its concealment, may not precisely match our mapped-out eschatology or our settled expectations. We must allow ourselves to be astonished by the generosity of God. But by the bodily signs of the mother, we know the gift is coming. And so we wait hopefully and expectantly. Outside that lowly room where the birth will soon take place. Listen to the words of Isaiah. In chapter 66 of the book that takes his name, he prophesies about a voice, the voice of the Lord, speaking out of the temple in Jerusalem. The voice likens the holy city to a mother who gives birth suddenly and without labor pains, thereby eluding the curse of Eve. She is blessed with a male child, the beginning of a great nation that will be brought into everlasting peace. "Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery?" says the Lord. "Shall I who cause delivery shut up the womb?" says your God. This prophecy tells of Christ and of his church, anciently signified by the Virgin Mother. We look on the Virgin heavy with child and we see the promise. The unborn child veiled within his mother and visible in her swelling body is a sign of the coming day of birth, of a hope that is already being fulfilled. Likewise, John, the voice of the Lord speaking out of the desert, gives us a promise. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. The great one you look for, he is near. Already he stands among you." And this is the second aspect of the veil. It is not just a promise for the future, it is a living and tangible sign in the present. The veiling itself reveals. God puts on veils that we may see him. Fire and smoke on a mountain, the dark mirror of prophecy, the flesh and blood of a Galilean carpenter, consecrated bread and wine, and the communion of the church, which we also call Christ's body. The church, like Mary, bears Jesus sacramentally hidden in her midst. To find the Holy Child, you must go to the Holy Virgin Mother, to this Bethlehem, this house of bread, until his face shines openly upon us as he promised. Perhaps reflecting on this, we still feel that sense of disappointed expectation. The church can seem at times to possess none of Mary's radiant motherhood. Its people are often very ordinary, present company excepted. Its liturgies come and go and leave us at times unmoved or with that gnawing sense of absence. We see in a glass darkly, as St. Paul declared. 2,000 years have gone by, and we do not yet behold our bridegroom face to face. But the mystery of Christmas Eve and the words of John the Baptizer invite us to reconsider our disappointment. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Though veiled, he is here with us, the one we expect and greater than we expect. The divine Son comes in meekness and humility by the Holy Spirit, adopting the frail matter of our world in the same way as we did, as a human, and in a human way. Who is like unto the Lord our God that hath his dwelling so high, and yet humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and earth, the psalmist declares. Hearing the baptizer's rebuke, let us seek him hidden among us. Here in this house of bread, let us sit with the Virgin and wait for the Son who rises with healing in his wings. No, his final advent has not yet arrived. The dawn has not broken over the desert. But it is near, and not simply near in time. By the Holy Spirit, Jesus is truly and fully present with us. Through Mary's eyes, through the eyes of patient and holy faith, we know him in the face of our Christian brothers and sisters. We know him in bread and wine. We place our hope in him, and thereby we encounter his love. Soon the empty manger will be a throne. Shepherds will stumble in, dazzled by celestial glory. Wise men will approach, starstruck, to crown the newborn king with gold and burn incense before his altar. And we will draw near with them, rejoicing in the brightness of a dawn that fades our Advent candles. Our long waiting will be ended. But on this long Christmas Eve, St. John the Baptizer challenges us to seek him where he may be found, even now. Perhaps you will not get that perfect Christmas, or those warm spiritual feelings of assurance and intimacy to last you into the new year. But God has something better for you. He is not satisfied to give his children anything less than the best, himself, ever and always. So hold out your hands in faith, and you will receive. He fills the hungry soul with good things. He brings captives out of darkness and the shadow of death. He leads you from your disappointment back into the arms of the church, back to these humble people and humble sacraments, to learn who he is, and that he is Emmanuel, that he is with you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen.